A very good evening to you, and welcome to Congregation Albert in the Northeast Heights on this beautiful Sunday in Albuquerque. Welcome to those of you listening in today on KANW Radio 89.1 FM, the oldest FM radio station in New Mexico, and on KNME TV5. I'm Chris Schuler. It's an honor to be moderating today's debate between the final two mayoral candidates, City Councilor Dan Lewis, State Auditor Tim Keller. Let me start by going over the rules for the debate. Each candidate will start with a two-minute opening statement, and then a series of questions will be asked of each candidate. These questions were chosen by a committee here at Congregation Albert from those submitted by this audience. There were over 50 questions submitted. I think we're going to get to about eight, but we'll try to cover all the ground. Each candidate will have up to 90 seconds to answer the question, and then each candidate will have up to 60 seconds for a follow-up answer or rebuttal. Candidates, you will see these numbers here, and they will count you down. When we get to time is out, this guy's going to leap up, so you don't want that to happen. At the end of our hour, each candidate will have a two-minute closing statement. The first candidate to open was chosen by a coin toss before this debate, and we will go in reverse order for closing statements. Before we begin, again, a reminder to our audience to be polite to each candidate. We always are here in the land of enchantment. This is civil discourse at its best, and we appreciate that very much. And finally, before the opening statements, another round of applause and appreciation to congratulate our two candidates for being in the runoff election for mayor. And now, the opening statements. First, Tim Keller.
Well, good afternoon or late morning. My name is Tim Keller, and I am excited to be up here today to talk about the future of our city. And I'm also very appreciative to be in this space. For my family and I, Temple is very special, of course. We've had lots of history here. My family, my wife, who stood up earlier, this is where she had her bat mitzvah, and this is where I was for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and so I married in, and so it's great to be back. But I've never made it on the Bima before, so Rabbi, this is awesome. And but well, I was born and raised here as well. And for me, I think most folks know a little bit about my background, but I got started in government as a state senator in the International District. And that role taught me a whole lot about what it means to represent one of our most diverse and challenged communities here in Albuquerque. And now, as your state auditor, I've been fighting fraud, waste, and abuse around our community. And that has taught me a whole lot of things, especially about that disconnect between what politicians say and what they do, and what they fund, and how these are at the core of some of our challenges in Albuquerque. I want to address these challenges head on, and I want to make us a safe, inclusive, and innovative city that actually works for all of us. And for my wife and I, raising our young family here, we truly believe we are at a crossroads, and we're going the wrong direction. And to fix that, we've got to do two things differently going forward. Number one is we have to own responsibility for our challenges. We're not going to wait any longer for anyone else to deal with our issues, and we're not going to blame anyone else for our problems. And the second thing is we've got to actually get down to problem solving. Our campaign is about specifics that will make a difference on the major issues in our city, and that's what I look forward to speaking with you about today.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. And now, Dan Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you to Congregation Albert and everyone who's here this morning and organizations who've put this together. We're very grateful for the invitation and for the reputation of this forum. I love this city, and this city has given me so many great opportunities to be able to start two businesses in the city of Albuquerque as an entrepreneur, to lead one of the fastest growing companies in our city over the last 6 years, to pastor a great church, a wonderful church in Albuquerque for about 15 years that continues to thrive today, to raise my family here in the city of Albuquerque, to serve on the Albuquerque City Council. I could tell you that 100% of what we do at City Hall has absolutely nothing to do with partisan politics, but about ensuring that people get a good return on their tax dollars and making good decisions on behalf of the people of the city of Albuquerque. My family, Tracy and I have raised our two kids here. They go to the University of New Mexico. And I want my kids to have every opportunity, any opportunity to be able to go anywhere in this country they want to go to live and to work and to raise a family. But I want their best opportunities to be right here in Albuquerque. The fact is, our city's not defined by opportunity right now. It's defined by crime. But I believe it can change. And if it can change, then we should rise to that challenge. We will make Albuquerque the very worst place to be a criminal. We'll make Albuquerque the most unwelcome place for those who want to steal cars and break into homes and wreak havoc on our city's neighborhoods. And I'm looking forward to specifically and directly answering your questions this morning and to talk to you about not only what Albuquerque can look like and how it can thrive in the next few years, but how we get there, how we specifically get there. And it's going to take the kind of leadership at City Hall that knows how to bring people together, that understands how City Hall works, that's created private jobs here in this city. And I'm looking forward to being that leader and helping this city thrive.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. We're going to start our questioning with the elephant in the room, or the bus in the room. ART was passed, the Albuquerque Rapid Transit. It is happening. What is your view on it, and what are we going to do now? We'll start with Mr. Lewis.
You know, I was one of two city councilors that voted against the ART. And I compare it to the Paseo I-25 interchange, which I spearheaded and championed and put together the funding for. And we had enough support to recognize a dire need in this city. And the Paseo I-25 interchange was a dire need. And everybody recognized that we needed to fix that problem. We will focus on core infrastructure projects like our aging roads in this city and the many neighborhood roads and needs that we have. I stood against the ART from the beginning because there was not a dire need that we were trying to fix. It was really something that came out of the mayor's office. And I've stood behind the landowners and the business owners, you know, to be able to make it, you know, help make them successful and help to lessen the burden that it's created on them. But we will focus on core infrastructure. The next mayor is going to have a ribbon cut completed project. And I've proposed that we're going to have the kind of data and the kind of analysis that ensures that that ART works, that it does what it's promised to do. And if it doesn't, we need the ability to be able to change it, to open up directed lanes to general traffic, to be able to cut turn lanes. But we will ensure that the project works. And if it doesn't work, we're going to change it. And I'm going to continue to support transit that goes to all parts of our city. I've championed transit, the Blue Line, and other transit, you know, lines that go all around our city, including the West Side, where people need to move. I mean, where people need it. And where we move people and commerce in a way that's going to help our city to be successful.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. And now 90 seconds to Mr. Keller.
Well, I think if we start out with a couple of things, I'm a big believer in public transit, and I love it even more when someone else is going to pay for it. So conceptually, the idea that we're doing this is a good thing. And the idea that we got the feds to pay for most of it is also a good thing. But we all know what happened. We had a paternal, top-down, we are going to tell Albuquerque what Albuquerque needs attitude from City Hall instead of listening and understanding what we actually want. And this project is a reflection of a city that is being run the wrong way, and that's what I want to change. Now, it's true that this is going to be in place. So at the end of the day, I think the best that a new mayor can do is have a strategy to make the best out of it. And it's not about high-level details in terms of talking about transit. We have to kind of fix this to make it work. So here's what I want to do. First thing is the design has some challenges. The reason why those businesses are being cut off is because we've eliminated the left-hand turns into those businesses. I want to revisit that and cut additional left-hand turns so they can survive. The second thing is we've got to look at the dedicated traffic lane. Can you imagine sitting there and looking next to you and seeing an empty lane right next to you during rush hour? We've got to revisit that. But the third thing I think is the most important. If we actually want to do what we should with this, commuters have to be able to ride it. That's why I want to take it over to the airport and past the isotopes and the Lobo games. That's how we actually get ridership. That's a bus we want to be on.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. We really appreciate it. Mr. Lewis, you have 60 seconds to respond.
Well, I mean, $120 million in federal dollars, about $20 million that's going to have to come. That's not even reimbursed yet, but it's coming out of the city's capital program, You know, we're going to focus on core infrastructure projects and not boondoggle projects like the ART. Certainly that has to do with transit. There's some great transit extensions that we need to continue, but not the ART. I mean, this was an administration that was bent on ramming through the middle of Central Avenue, our mother road, a bus system, and it's caused a whole lot more problems than it solved anything, and it wasn't intended to solve any problems. And so, you know, I have a record of many, many traffic infrastructure projects that solve real needs that everybody agrees on, that we need. And so again, Tim, talks about $120 million. This is $120 million that could have been we could have put into behavior health, vouchers for homeless people. It could have been, it could have been captured for a lot of other needs that the city has, but not the ART. It's been an absolute boondoggle.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Mr. Keller, 60 seconds.
Well, I think one thing we agree on is there certainly are higher priorities in our city. And City Council had 4 or 5 years to fix this and do something with it, and we still ended up getting it. And so that's why the new mayor's got to come in and clean it up. And we talked about the $120 million. The downside is, this isn't paid for. We still are going to owe $19 million on it in addition to operating money. So I think the mayor better have a plan. And I think that's why we have to take it to the airport. One, it should have gone there in the first place. Two, there's extra bonding capacity at the airport. That's how we can actually pay for this and make it something that works for our city. And the other thing is we've got to blend it with Rapid Ride, because the highest commuter lines in our city are Cottonwood Mall over to C&M. But this bus won't even go on that route. So the mayor's got to link that up so that it works for commuters going to school and going to work, so that it works for all of us when we want to go to the airport or we want to go to a Lobo game or an Isotopes game, and we can pay off the debt that City Council created.
Thank you very much. We're going to move to our next question. These are the simple ones, by the way. We'll get the hard ones in a few minutes. And we'll start this time with Mr. Keller. Albuquerque should attract many more high-tech startups and keep graduates from leaving. How are you going to make that happen?
I think this is a very, very important question. And even in my own life, and my wife and I, we're returnees. We were born and raised here, and we tried to come back several times. And we know how hard it is to try and find a good job here. And we think about what we've done in terms of building entrepreneurship in the tech economy. We've just scratched the surface. We've created a building, the rainforest, Innovate ABQ. But we've got to step up with what entrepreneurs actually need: customers and capital. And that's why in our economic development plan, we talk about utilizing some of the city's huge funds to actually invest in startups and to double down on the funding that we use right now for our entrepreneurs in town. But we've got to link that with who we're recruiting. And that's why in areas like directed energy, which is one of the best spots in Albuquerque, instead of recruiting call centers and any random company who will move here, we should actually build a cluster where we win and where we have a competitive advantage. So I want to focus all of our business recruiting efforts and pair that with industries that are growing here, like directed energy, cyber electronics, programs like that. That is so much more effective than our current program, which is sort of either hunting elephants, trying to catch the next Intel or the next Amazon, you name it. We actually have essentially lost our way, lost our focus when it comes to economic development. And if we can bring those two ideas together, targeted recruitment from out of state, and then actually funding our entrepreneurs the same way that we fund businesses from out of state, then we're actually going to build something that's sustainable, and that's a career.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Mr. Lewis, 90 seconds.
The president of General Atomics, one of the largest private contractors of directed energy in the country, came here to Albuquerque a few weeks ago. He saw Innovate Albuquerque and the investment, and he said, we are going to invest in Albuquerque. We're going to bring jobs here because of your focus, your priority on our tech environment. 3 or 4 years ago, we had 3 or 4 incubators and accelerators. Attracting talented people and thought leaders, and then the capital, follows after that. Now we have over 30 of them. I will double down on our entrepreneurial ecosystem in Albuquerque. And we need a job creator that's going to lead that process, somebody who's created private jobs in this city and started small businesses in this city. We're going to focus on our strengths, like directed energy. We have some companies in Albuquerque that are growing and expanding and an influx of capital and creating jobs that are leading the way in the technology that's creating autonomous vehicles. So our directed energy, our creative economy, our health and biosciences, some of our strengths, our big data with Facebook. You know, we're now number six in big data in Albuquerque. But we're going to have opportunities, you know, for millennials, for young people in this city to have their best choices to have a career, the career that they want in Albuquerque. And not only that, we have accelerators. Now, I'll double down on the accelerators and incubators for the mom-pop stores, the brick-and-mortar stores, the service providers. You know, we'll have opportunities for everybody who has an idea and want to turn that idea into a business and help them to be successful.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. 60 seconds for rebuttal.
Well, I think it's easy to talk about that we want to help and we want to invest and we want to double down. The question is how? That's the question we've been trying to answer for 20 years. And that's why I want to do things differently when it comes to literally how we do this. So for decades, we package up all of our tax incentive programs, tax increment districts, IRBs, LEDA funds, JTIP funds. They have all these different acronyms. And we package them up and we offer them to out-of-state companies. And we say, please move here. We will give you all of this. Then if you actually talk to a directed energy company here, Contrast Inc., and you say, why are you leaving New Mexico? Why are you leaving Albuquerque? They will tell you, because every other city will offer us those same things, but our own city that we live in today offers us nothing. I want to change that focus and offer every economic development tool to companies that are already here and already growing. That's how we create a career path, not just an entry-level job.
Mr. Lewis?
You know, the city had the foresight, you know, last year to put about $10 million into a LEDA fund to join the state with $40 million. And so $10 million that we've been able to use to be able to, not just a closing fund to attract companies like Amazon and others, but to help homegrown companies to be able to expand and grow and thrive and create jobs. And two-thirds of that money that's been awarded over the last year has gone to companies like RiskSense and Scorpios, homegrown Albuquerque, you know, companies that are expanding. And so that's the plan. That is the specific plan that we specifically as leaders, you know, encourage those dollars specifically to those jobs that are going to create jobs in our city. But I've created jobs in our city. I didn't create jobs in Cambodia, a sweatshop jobs in Cambodia like Tim did, you know, and took away union jobs, you know, from America. But it's a company that his brother started. He didn't start it. The only job that Tim Keller has created is his own job, paid for by public taxpayers. We need somebody in the city who actually understands how jobs and how jobs are created and who's created private jobs in the city.
You're listening to 89.1 KANW New Mexico's public radio coverage of the Congressional Congregation Albert mayoral debate. I'm Chris Schuler with candidates Tim Keller and Dan Lewis, and this is 89.1 KANW. We continue now with our questions, this one going to Dan Lewis. The issue of panhandling is getting out of control. What's your plan to tackle this in a productive manner, and how will you deal with the homeless population? 90 seconds.
The city has a very weak panhandling ordinance, and it's an ordinance that can't even be, you know, defended in court right now. There's somebody who was arrested, you know, 50 times for panhandling on the median, and that person's in court, and he's suing the city of Albuquerque, and he could win because of a weak ordinance that we have. So we're going to strengthen that ordinance. It is unlawful to panhandle, certainly on the ordinance, and so we're going to have, or in the city, or on medians, and so we're going to make sure that we have a strong ordinance that we can back up, and we're going to have enough police officers to be able to enforce that. And we're going to double down on organizations and initiatives like Albuquerque Heading Home, where it's a housing-first model. We bring together organizations from all over the city to identify, you know, the needs of homeless people in our city. They have so many different needs, whether it be addiction or abuse or many other ways that things that have led them to be on the streets, and be able to identify those needs, put them together with organizations and people that are going to meet those needs and help them. And then ultimately to be able to provide the kind of housing that they need to be able to get on the streets. And so we have an initiative in Albuquerque that has, you know, led the way really nationally, and we're going to grow that. We're going to ensure that it's funded, and we're going to ensure that the faith community and other organizations are involved in every possible way.
Mr. Keller, 90 seconds.
Well, I want to answer the question directly, but what I might do is touch on that a bit later. You know, I do think it's funny. I just actually said bye to my brother this morning on my way here. That's why I was a little bit late to breakfast. But My opponent brought up Cambodia, and I never get to talk about Cambodia that much. I went to the University of Notre Dame, and I got a finance degree there, and I worked in the private sector. I worked for a big business, actually. I was an investment banker, and I worked for Fortune 500 companies, and then I got to do something that was one of the most important things I've ever done in my life. I got to help hundreds of landmine victims in Cambodia learn how to use the computer and learn how to do coding. And that, incidentally, was a project that was helped by JWS, by the way. And I just want to say, for any one of those hundreds of folks literally with no limbs and no hope, to call that a sweatshop or whatever it was called is an absolute injustice. And it shows a lot of ignorance also about what actually happened in Cambodia and the genocide there. So I'm proud of that. It changed my life. It made me a progressive. It made me someone who believes in social justice. And it made me want to move back home and make a difference. So I quit my jobs in the private sector, and I decided to rededicate my life to trying to make my hometown better. And that is a huge reason why I'm before you today running for mayor.
Mr. Lewis? 60 seconds.
Will you repeat the question again? I want to.
Yes, this is regarding panhandling in Albuquerque and the homeless population.
So when we say we want to answer the question directly, I want to make sure we do that. So, you know what? This is, you know, something in every city, you know, that we're challenged with, and certainly in the city of Albuquerque, I think that we have the tools, we have the organizations and the faith communities. We need a leader at City Hall that's going to bring people together and really, really be able to help people that are on the streets, including veterans. You know, Albuquerque should have, there shouldn't be any veterans that are living on the streets of Albuquerque. And I'm, you know, proud to work with some of the best homeless or veterans organization that are putting homeless people to work. And one of them is called Desert Forge Foundation, and they're doing community gardening around Albuquerque, and they're producing great crops, and they're sending it to local businesses, local restaurants, and they're putting veterans to work. And so I'm going to support the kind of organizations that are specifically meeting those needs of homeless people, certainly our veterans that are homeless, and specifically putting them to work. And there's been jobs created by that. I had the opportunity to be able to come alongside them and be a catalyst and help that organization to be able to get people off the streets to work, creating great products that are helping our community.
Thank you very much. Mr. Keller, 60 seconds.
You know, this question is about panhandling, and I want to talk about that. I think there's more on homelessness, but specifically with panhandling, what do we do? I believe we have to do things differently, and so I support a diversion program that basically looks like this. Instead of calling 311, in which case nothing happens, or calling 911 when there's like 10 cop cars and fire truck that come, I just want to send two people. A paramedic and a social worker. This is what's known as community paramedicine. In that program, you call in, they go out to the people on the street, they triage the issue if it's a mental health issue or behavioral health issue, and then they also make sure if there's dehydration and so forth, they deal with that. And then they take folks to the right place. That's the key with the social worker, because every panhandler has a different story. Some might be literally passing through. Some might be trying to find their family. Some might be addicted. Some might be part of human trafficking. We have to actually deal with that each individual person on their own individual terms. And to do that, we need a new system. And we can do this because instead of taking them to the ER, which is the most expensive way to take them, we'll take them to where they need to go and where we can get them help.
Thank you very much. We go on now. What are the benefits, what are the detriments, and what are the overall ramifications of Albuquerque being a sanctuary city? And do you support or oppose that? And we'll start with Mr. Keller.
Well, I think this is a very important question, because this question is a reflection of who we are as a city and what we believe in. And that term, sanctuary city, it's amazing how this has been blown up into essentially a litmus test for both sides. And at the end of the day, I want to tell you exactly where I stand, because I think everyone running for mayor needs to have a clear answer on this question. But I also want to acknowledge that the definition of sanctuary is in court right now, and we don't know what dollars are going to be at stake and what aren't. But I know this. As mayor, I want to protect every family in this city. And I know from being the senator in the International District that the reason why we had the safest community in decades in Trumbull neighborhood and in La Mesa is because we had trust between undocumented immigrants and the police. You cannot have that trust if you are not a sanctuary city. You cannot have that trust if you have an ICE transfer desk waiting for people when they're brought in. We will never be able to deal with our crime problems unless we have the help of our immigrant and refugee communities, and we will never have their help unless they trust our officers and unless they trust our mayor. And that's why I believe a mayor has to be unequivocal about this. We also know who we are as a city. I embrace our diversity. I embrace our history. And I want to champion it. And I want to tell the rest of America that we in Albuquerque have been a multicultural capital for a long time. And we will show the rest of the country how to do this right.
Mr. Keller, thank you. Let me remind the audience, let's try to hold our applause to the end so we can get in all the questions. Thank you very much. Mr. Lewis, Sanctuary City.
You know, embracing diversity, embracing our cultural diversity, the differences that we have in Albuquerque, and what makes us great, what brings us together, is so important. We actually have a statement, in the city of Albuquerque that's policy that welcomes immigrants and says that we're an immigrant-friendly city. The difference is policies, and I supported policies and procedures that allow ICE agents into our transfer center. We're not considered by the definition a sanctuary city because of that. It is the job of the federal government to force immigration, and our police officers do not ask people. In fact, no city employee asks anybody of their citizen status, and I think that's the right policy. But we also have a sensitive policy, a procedure that does comply with the federal government, does allow us to be able to have also the funding and the partnership with the federal government that we need. The answer to the question is the kind of policy and the kind of that Tim just described, the consequences of that is we become like Bernalillo County, that actually is considered, the policies that consider them a sanctuary county, and keep us from being able to have some of the benefits and some of the cooperation with the federal government. So the stakes are high in this, and I think that we need smart, common sense leadership in the mayor's office that will allow us to be able to take advantage and have some of those benefits and at the same time protect people's constitutional rights.
Thank you. Mr. Keller, 60 seconds rebuttal.
Well, look, at the end of the day, you can't have it both ways. I think Bernalillo County's done a great job. And those folks, they are so much more proactive and effective than City Hall right now. And I think that's a good thing. And so that's why I think we should learn from them and understand how they're doing it. And I also think this notion of an immigrant-friendly city, I want to remind folks, that's a memorial. That is not actually a policy. The policy is set by the mayor. It was just a memorial vote. And, to me, if we're going to actually pick one side or the other, let's at least own it. And that's what I will do. We are going to have this in ordinance, and we're going to say this is part of the definition of who we are as a city. We're not going to try and have it both ways. We are going to have it the way that is right for Albuquerque.
Mr. Lewis, rebuttal.
I think it's very clear. I don't think there could be any further of a difference that Tim and I have on this. I mean, Tim just described a sanctuary city, the kind of city that protects illegal immigrants from being here. What's scary about that, what's dangerous about that, is we're talking about a violent offenders that are in our MDC right now. And we're talking about, No limitations whatsoever is what Tim's talking about. And so I think it couldn't be more clear. I mean, Tim wants to make by policy the city of Albuquerque a sanctuary city and join the ranks of San Francisco and other cities that are some of the most radical policies in this country. I'm talking about a common sense policy that protects the constitutional rights of people, that welcomes people in the city, and also complies with the law of the land. And so there couldn't be any further differences here, I think, on this issue.
Thank you very much. Now we get to crime. This seems to be the big issue. Most questions came in about crime in the city. Most people agree that there's an extreme rise in crime here in Albuquerque. The question is, what will you do about it to get a larger, better-trained police force in Albuquerque? And off the top, would you fire the police chief? And we'll start with Mr. Lewis.
Well, our current police chief is going to go. We will have a new police chief in my administration, and it'll be a police chief. We'll do a national search for the best chief that Albuquerque can find, and we'll make sure that that's a chief that's respected, well-respected by our rank and file, and we will build the most respected and the most trusted police department in the country. I stood up in 2011 and said that we needed a DOJ investigation of our department because I knew that for our department to be able to gain the trust, you know, back of the people of Albuquerque, that it needed to open up the closed doors and shine the light and ensure that our good officers were protected and cleared and that we reformed that department. So we're 2.5 years into a 4-year agreement with the Department of Justice, and we'll complete that agreement. But my crime plan talks specifically. We talk specifically about how we build a department of 1,200 officers, how we get there, how we pay for them, the kind of mid-year budget that I'll propose my first day in office that pays for officers, a salary that's competitive, that keeps the drain from those officers going to other cities, how the department is structured. With 60% of our department in our field services, you'll see a marked police car everywhere you go, and officers that are peacekeepers more than enforcers, a part of the very fabric of our community, doing neighborhood policing. 30% of our department in our detective bureau that are gathering evidence and investigating crimes and showing up in court where our officers, where the court, where the judges want them to be. But it's a plan for how and what it's going to look like. We will build the most respected, trusted, and we will department, and we will make the city the worst place to be a criminal.
Mr. Keller, 90 seconds.
Well, I think a couple of things. We cannot deal with crime if a huge section of our population doesn't trust us. And I don't want to lose sight that a few minutes ago, there was an equation made between immigrants and violent criminals. That is absolutely wrong, and that is coded language. That is national talking points coming from a president who is trying to divide us. What we do have in common is violent criminals. That's what the crime plan should be all about. The difference between my plan is it actually deals with this now. We're going to get a new chief. We're going to get some new folks all the way through the top. We are also going to commit to finishing the DOJ reforms and then sending them home and taking back our police department. And then we're going to use that $7 million that we're spending on lawyers and advisors to actually hire more cops. And we're going to fill the vacancy rate. The amazing thing is we have funding for almost 100 new officers right now, but we don't have the leadership actually hiring those officers. But we're also going to do something that we should have done a long time ago. Look, we used to have 1,200 officers, and budget after budget in the last 8 years, we traded officers for capital projects. That's what's been happening under this city council and under this mayor. We are not going to do that anymore. Our campaign is about prioritizing the things that matter for our city, and that's why we're going to wait a little bit on some projects like a fountain downtown, and we're going to actually fund our law enforcement.
Thank you. 60-second rebuttal. Mr. Lewis.
You know, the only extreme partisan language that you've heard this morning is coming from Tim, who spent 10 years in Santa Fe voting 98% of the time with his party. 98% of the time, you know, with his party. And he's represented a district that still has one of the highest crime rates in the city of Albuquerque, and he's done absolutely nothing. And he's got a crime plan that's number 5. It's about number 5 on his list of priorities. And it's right in there with open space and other things that are priorities. But number 5 on the list is Tim's plan. And it's a hug-a-thug plan. It's about coddling criminals and putting criminals in this city. This is a crime plan, I mean, Tim's crime plan, that puts the criminals of this city before the law-abiding citizens of this city. And he's got a record. He's got a record of voting on something that's absolutely dangerous and disgusting. I mean, limiting the ability for the city of Albuquerque to keep sex offenders from living close to the people that they've offended. I mean, Tim voted on that bill, and he regrets it. He's told people he traded a vote for it, and he regrets it right now. And I appreciate him trying to run away from his record. But this is a record. This is a record that coddles and puts criminals in this city before law-abiding citizens. I will not do that.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. And just a reminder to the audience, as you applaud and as you cheer, we do lose time. Your candidate loses time. So we just want to make sure we keep moving along. Our next question. Take a deep breath, everyone. Yes, you do. 60 seconds.
State auditor, what can I say?
Thank you. I'm glad you caught that. I appreciate it.
So, look, there's a lot in there, but I just want to say one thing. I will never run away from my record. I'm proud of that vote because it was the right thing to do. The reason why I voted for that is because it was about consistent policies statewide. And that's also why law enforcement supported it. And that's why now it's current law, and even Governor Martinez supported that law. So I'm proud to say that that law has nothing to do with anything that Dan just talked about. It has to do with good governance. And that's what I'm all about. That's what my campaign is all about. And let me say this, that's what our crime plan is all about. There is a reason why the police officers in this town are supporting my crime plan. There is a reason why firefighters are supporting our crime plan. There's a reason why the West Side Chamber of Commerce is supporting our crime plan. There's a reason why our revolution is supporting our crime plan. Because it is the right plan for our city, and because they believe that I have the right experience set of getting things done, of accountability, and of actually having experience managing a department and managing people and turning things around. That's what we need in our police department. Not just talking points about national issues or about hiring more cops.
Thank you. You know what we're going to do first?
We're going to make sure every cop responds to calls. That's how we get emergency service faster.
You know, the Albuquerque Journal called it inexcusable. It's dangerous and disgusting.
Okay, everyone take a deep breath. You're listening to 89.1 KANW, New Mexico Public Radio, coverage of the Congregation Albert Mayoral Debate. I'm Chris Schuler with candidates Tim Keller and Dan Lewis, and this is 89.1 KANW. Our next question, we'll start with Mr. Keller. Explain your position on the rights of transgender people.
So for me, I'm proud to say that I have been supportive of equality and social justice for folks regardless of their faith or their choices or their gender preference. And so I was a supporter of gay marriage before, you know, when people were trying to parse it with civil union. And it's because I just believe in people's individuals to be who they want to be and to be with who they want to be. And to define themselves however they want to define themselves. And that's why I support a city hall that should reflect that openness and inclusive policy so that everyone is welcome in Albuquerque, no matter where you are on any of those spectrums. And to me, that's so important because when we talk about an inclusive city, which has been part of our campaign from day one, it means you've also got to have policies that back that up. And you've also got to clearly say where you stand on these issues. And for me, I want to represent all of Albuquerque. And that means not excluding anyone because of their gender preference or because of anything that they might believe or where they're from. And so to me, this is an extension of a value of inclusiveness. And that's something that we have to walk the walk on. And in the state Senate, every one of those votes that I took, I've been proud of that. In a state auditor to talk about the economic benefits and the compliance issues related to equality, I'm proud of that also. And I'm proud that I've been able to bring together folks who might not even believe that themselves, but they respect it. They respect that I have a clear stance, and they respect that I'll stand up for what I believe in, and they respect that I'll also listen to both sides, and that at the end of the day, we can still get along, even if we don't agree on every single issue.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Mr. Lewis.
You know, there's nothing that Tim just said that that really I disagree with, other than, you know, my personal faith and personal feelings, but when it comes to which everybody has in the city. I mean, everybody has a lot of different feelings and certainly different convictions about that. But everything he just said about being inclusive, about treating people exactly the same way, is extremely important. But I mean, this is an issue that's been used even in city government city politics to be so polarizing. And when it comes to 8 years of public service over the last 8 years. You know, I have a record of treating people fairly and treating people the same, no matter who you are, and no matter what background, no matter what lifestyle. And I have a lot of friends in the LGBT community that are close friends of mine, and they know that I mean, when it comes to policy in the city of Albuquerque, they see the common sense and they accept the fact that we believe in different ways. And I think that's important. I think that's part of the dialogue, you know, that we need to have. But the problem is it becomes a part of what the media and what people try to use to polarize in this community. And that's wrong. And I will treat people the same as I've done for 8 years in public service.
Mr. Keller, 60 seconds.
You know, I think on that, on the surface, I don't think there is a whole lot of difference. And I certainly respect intention. But it takes more than words. And so I just want to make sure that the policies match the words. And if that means arguing with people and standing up for what I believe in, I'm fine with that. I think our city needs leadership, and leaders have to be clear on where they stand, and their policies should actually match what they say.
Mr. Lewis.
All we're talking about is words. That's all it's been on this issue. And so if there's some specific policies that we can discuss and talk about, then certainly let's talk about those policies.
Let's move on to education. Do you think APS should be broken up into smaller districts? And should the mayor's office be involved in the education of our young people? And we will start with Mr. Lewis.
Yeah, the answer is yes. And should the mayor be involved? Absolutely. We lose millions of dollars, I believe, all the time because of a broken public education system, a district. My wife's a teacher. She's taught for 20 years, third grade in APS public schools. My brother's a teacher at Cibola High School. We have incredible teachers, some incredible administrators. They don't have a chance right now when it comes to the structure of APS. We have high-paid bureaucrats in a skyscraper in Uptown, and they come up with ideas on cutting middle school sports programs. You know, rather than the bureaucracy of that school system that has failed our kids, absolutely failed our kids. So, yes, I am for smaller school districts that are more accountable, they're more efficient, they're closer to the people that they serve. They serve the communities of our city specifically, and we can do this. Examples around the country. Rio Rancho Public Schools is a great example of a school district that broke off from APS. They spend half the amount per student that APS does, and they're one of the most successful districts in the state of New Mexico. Examples of that around the country. We could share the same tax base, by the way. We're not talking about different socioeconomic groups and somehow disenfranchising them or dividing this city. We're talking about giving our kids a chance. We're talking about unions that could represent every one of those districts. And so there's no reason to be on the other side of that.
Mr. Lewis, 90 seconds.
Well, this is a fun one because we really disagree. And so I think there's 1,000 reasons to be on the other side of this. Number one is I'm running for mayor. I want to do everything the city can do to help our kids. And that has nothing to do with whether or not we divide up a school district. That's a school board issue. That's a state legislature issue. I voted on that a couple of times in the state legislature. It wasn't a good idea then, and it's not a good idea now. And at the end of the day, let's think about how are we going to divide us up? Is that geographic? Is it by neighborhood? I don't want to divide us up. I'm running for mayor to unite us and bring us together. And also, you know, I don't want to create more bureaucracy. We're going to have 2 school boards. We're going to have 2 superintendents. We're going to have 5 of those giant white buildings. I don't know how this fixes anything. In fact, I think it's more of the blame game. I'm not running for mayor to blame APS. I'm running for mayor to help our kids. And that's why I have a very specific plan. It's something the city can actually do. It doesn't take anyone else. We are just going to provide comprehensive after-school extracurricular programs for our kids. Math, science, support, but also arts, music, sports, everything that's been sucked out of the school day, we can put back in at the city level. And if we can do that, then we can also do it over the summer. And then we're really making a difference in our kids' lives. We're enriching them in the times when they need enrichment the most. That's what I want to do as your mayor.
Rebuttal, Mr. Lewis.
That's what we've done for decades. We poured more money at APS. Albuquerque subsidizes APS. APS has a $1.3 billion budget. We have a $500 million budget. And what Tim's talking about is just continue to give it more money. Millions of dollars of city taxpayers that goes to a failed school system. And what he's proposed is exactly what we've done. I have no problem with continuing, you know, the programs, the after-school programs, the summer programs, all those things. But this campaign has been about the kind of bold solutions that are going to really change this city when it comes to education. If our kids are our highest special interest group, then we're going to come together with the kind of ideas that are going to fundamentally change the biggest, most massive, I mean, the massive Albuquerque school district that's failing. The city of Colorado Springs has 8 different school districts. It's smaller than Albuquerque. There's not a bunch of big skyscrapers like in Uptown. There's not 8 of them. You know, there's very efficient small school district where parents are making decisions, where parents are involved, rather than driving across town again to a big skyscraper to people that they don't even know.
Thank you very much. Rebuttal, Mr. Keller.
You know, I think there's important policy pieces here, and the other piece is about waiting. I don't want to wait for APS. I think this notion that somehow we're doing this already is not true at all. In fact, there's studies on this. after-school programs are available for about 20% of the kids. And it's because we've been waiting for decades to step up. I want to do this as the city. We are not going to wait for APS to fix our problems. We're not going to blame them for our problems. We are going to help our kids in the one way we can. And that's by taking that 20% and scaling it so that every single student in our city can have good extracurriculars after school and over the summer. That's something that we can actually do without waiting for a school board, without waiting for a legislature. We need to address these issues now. The reason why we still have these problems after 10 years is because we've been doing everything except owning that responsibility and doing what we can today.
Let's move to the gun violence problem. Thankfully, we're not Chicago, but people feel we're getting close to that point. What is your view on access to guns and gun violence in general? We'll start with Mr. Keller.
Well, when we think about a crime situation and we think about violent criminals, there's a couple of pieces to this that I think are very important. We think about what happened even in Las Vegas. All of a sudden, the dialogue changed. You know, even on this campaign trail for months, it was about somebody's pro-gun and someone's anti-gun. How many shootings, how many massacres do we have for folks to realize that there are sensible things we can do to curb gun violence? And so for me, I'm proud to say that I had, amazingly, a B-plus NRA record in the legislature, and I support ending gun violence. Because that's what we've got to do as a community. And that says that there's a difference between being anti-gun and actually doing everything we can to keep our community safe. So for me, what that means is, look, there is a huge online resale loophole. And I saw this in the legislature when we were testifying on this. If you want to buy a gun today and you don't want it registered, you can go to the Craigslist equivalent and you meet someone literally at Wendy's and you trade cash for an unregistered gun. Everyone knows that's wrong. Everyone knows that is against the law. Yet no one has the political courage to stand up and say that that should not be the case in our city. The second thing is another existing law. All those criminals coming out of the revolving door, we talk about the revolving door criminals. You know what the number one thing they have in common with? They are a convicted criminal with an illegal firearm. Yet no one is afraid to actually hold them to task for that. I will do that as mayor. I will stand up against gun violence.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Mr. Lewis.
Well, I'm interested in what Tim did to get that NRA endorsement. But, you know, this issue is pretty, in some ways, is, you know, the rhetoric around it, you know, nationally, this conversation that we're having. When it comes to the mayor of the city of Albuquerque, there are some things, you know, that we can do. And again, I mean, Tim talks about using not using a bully pulpit or not blaming APS for things like this, but yet says that somehow the city of Albuquerque, the mayor of the Albuquerque, can influence legislative gun laws and things like that. So it's doublespeak. But there are ways that we can, I think, change the things. And one would be, let's tack on it. Let's ensure the legislature tacks on a 10-year sentence to violent felons that use guns in crimes. That would be a good start. Tim had 10 years in the Senate to get that done and didn't get it done. How about three strikes, you're out type legislation, for violent criminals in this city? You know, Tim had 10 years to get that done and never got it done. And the legislature, we need the legislature to partner with us on this. You know, how about bringing back the death penalty, you know, for child murderers and cop killers? And Tim voted to remove that. I mean, this is a record. I mean, Tim's record that has put criminals before law-abiding citizens in this city. And when it comes to gun laws, I mean, these are laws again that are held by our legislature. And yet Tim says that we can't be a bully pulpit for APS. Well, I guess not the legislature either. But there's some common sense ways that we can reduce gun violence, and I mentioned about three or four.
Thank you very much. Rebuttal, Mr. Keller?
Well, I love that I was in the legislature for 10 years. I was only there for six, so it felt like 10. And
six.
The impact that it had, I hope, was like 10. For me, let me just connect those dots at the city. I think that's a fair point, so let me connect them. The issue is we don't fund detectives. And detectives and investigators make the case that is then used to prosecute criminals. So at the end of the day, what can the city do on any major issue? It's actually adequately fund our detective department. City council hasn't done that. This is the way a city can actually make a difference. And I agree. I'm not going to spend time up at the legislature. I already spent 10 years there. So if those are your solutions to gun violence, run for the state legislature. Lewis for state legislature, 2018. I'm on board. I just want to do what we can as a city. And to me, that's connecting what we're doing in terms of our detectives supporting our prosecutors to actually enforce the laws in our
city. Is there a rebuttal on that?
Mr. Lewis? Yep. Yeah. 60 seconds.
Yeah. 6 years. I apologize. You've been six years doing nothing in the state Senate to help gun violence and to help reduce crime in the city. And you represented a district that still is a very dangerous part of our city and needs a lot of help. You know, when it comes to the funding the department, you know, I will put $15 million. We don't have a money problem at City Hall. We have a priorities problem at City Hall. I served as a city councilor. I voted against three budgets last year. They didn't prioritize. But we need a mayor. A mayor has to set the tone for a budget. And as mayor, I will put a $15 million mid-year substitute directly into the Albuquerque Police Department. As mayor, I'll propose that immediately. And we will fund public safety in this city to get to the officers that we need, pay them what they need to be paid. We'll complete the reform effort, and we'll ensure that those 30% are detectives, resolving, solving crime, gathering evidence, and showing up in court.
Albuquerque has a large number of veterans. Would you increase city business directly with veteran businesses? And how would you help veterans start businesses? And we will start with Mr. Lewis.
You know, I'm going to include our veterans and veteran-owned businesses and veterans with ideas to create jobs in our entrepreneurial ecosystem. And I'm looking forward to specifically helping us start some incubators and accelerators specifically to help veterans. I also want to help veterans get on a fast track to be able to be a part of the Albuquerque Police Department, to join our detective bureau, to be on in our field services. And, you know, the state legislature actually, created and allowed for an academy, a shortened academy for police or for military security to come and to go through that academy and to get involved in our department, shortened academy, get them trained and get them on the streets of Albuquerque, fighting crime. So I think that's one of the ways that we can do that. But I want to help those job creators thrive. I mean, veterans with great ideas to turn those ideas into job creating companies. And specifically our economic, our entrepreneurial ecosystem to specifically reach out to vets that are able to help them with the kind of funding from City Hall and partnerships, private partnerships, to be able to help them to be able to have successful. You know, veterans are some of the most creative people when it comes to ideas. I mentioned the Desert Forge Foundation and many others that are actually creating jobs in the city and putting veterans to work. We'll continue the incentives for veterans. You know, in the city of Albuquerque, if you're a veteran, you get an interview. You get an interview. No matter what, you put a resume and you're going to get an interview for any job at City Hall. And we'll continue that, and we'll ensure that veterans have a great opportunity to be able to go to work right away.
Thank you. Mr. Keller?
Well, I think in this area, this is it takes a lot more than just promoting. I mean, we thank our veterans for our service. We say that we appreciate what they're doing, and we want to give them an interview. I want to do so much more than that. And Desert Forge is a really good example, by the way, if anyone doesn't know about that. So let's use Desert Forge and explain sort of what a city should be doing for them. Right now, we talk about them and we promote them. But what they really want is to grow. And to grow, in a business sense, you need customers and you need capital. That's why I support at the city level. We've got to make sure that every city contract goes to a local business and also has first right of refusal for veterans. The amazing thing is we do that at the state level already. And that was one of the things I did in those 10 years was pass veterans preference legislation. I was proud to do that. So at the city, we've got to own this. We've got to say that we are going to try and get, for example, food purchases for senior centers should be grown by folks from Desert Forge and veterans. And the second thing is capital. We don't give them the same things that we give everyone else. We give out-of-state Arizona, Santa Lena, hundreds of millions of dollars to come here and build houses. But if you're Desert Forge, you just get promotion and an interview. We have to give folks in our city the same things we give folks outside of our city. That's how we take care of our community. That's how we help our veterans.
We're going to do a 45-second rebuttal here so we stay on time if we can. Mr. Lewis.
Absolutely. I think, you know, all of the above when it comes to helping our veterans and using every tool and every resource that we have at City Hall to be able to do that, including, you know, continuing to expand and give support to our Office of Veteran Affairs in the city of Albuquerque, make sure there are good people in there that are connecting. And I appreciate Tim mentioning it again, the Desert Forge Foundation, because there's I had the privilege of being able to help them get started and help provide some of the funding in the city of Albuquerque to actually partner as a city to get organizations like that going. And we'll continue to expand that and do that more with many other veterans with great ideas like what Desert Forge had.
Mr. Keller.
Well, there's a lot more opportunities, too. There's the Veterans Integration Center, which I was proud to help as a state senator in the International District. That deals with some of the most difficult PTSD issues that are coming, folks who are coming home, and finding them housing. I mean, the other thing is it's one thing to start a business. That's almost impossible if you don't have a place to live. And so we've got to look at the full spectrum of veterans' issues, and that's something that the city should be doing. And it also means utilizing our Veterans Memorial Center for everyone in Albuquerque. We talk about after-school programs, we should be sending every kid in Albuquerque there to learn about the people who served and the people who sacrificed for our country. We're not doing that right now. It's an island unto itself out there in the International District. We've got to bring it in and integrate it as part of our city and part of our veterans community.
Thank you both. We're going to have our wrap-up comments now. You've each got 2 minutes, and we're going to start with Mr. Lewis.
Thank you again. Thank you very much. I love this city. I'm passionate. I want to see it thrive. I'm running for mayor because I want to see the city thrive and do well, and I know that it can. I can tell you that I don't need the job. I'm not running for a job. I want this job, and I can't wait to be the executive of this city, you know, to be able to implement, to be able to do something about our crime rate, to be able to change our city's reputation, to be able to change education fundamentally in this city, to be able to expand and create jobs and support the job creators in this city. And I want to ask for your support. I'm running a campaign that many people that believe in this campaign that are sick and tired of our reputation. And they've given to this campaign. They've given generously to this campaign. And I'm not taking public dollars. You know, Tim's taking public dollars. And then he's got a private slush fund with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he's taking cash-in-kind donation to pay off his political consultants. This auditor needs to be audited. And we don't need somebody who starts in office next month already under ethics charges and dealing with ethical issues. We want an honest mayor who's willing to get in and get started and to be able to make the changes that we need to make in this city. You know, the downfall of elected officials is when they begin to think they're a little bit more important than they really are. And they forget that it's about answering the phone. They forget that it's about putting the people of this city before anything else. And I'd be honored to be your mayor. I'd be honored to have your support and honored to be able to move this city forward, to be the city that can thrive like we know it can.
Mr. Keller.
Well, when I began this campaign back in February, I made a choice. I made a very difficult choice. I said that I was not going to participate in the big money political system that is a cancer on our entire country and on our democracy. And I've tried every step of the way to do that differently. And I want to thank the 6,000 people in Albuquerque who gave us $5 to actually give us a chance to get to City Hall in a different way, in a way that isn't beholden to contractors and special interests. And so for me, that is the only choice that I can own. Because of Citizens United, there are PACs all over this race. Because of Citizens United, you can't even do this for other races. But for the city, you can. And that was the right choice, and I stand by that choice. And I've been transparent. We're allowed to take in-kind donations. And as a good auditor, we cataloged all of them. And that's exactly why we're talking about this today. That has been nothing more than a partisan cheap shot to try and distract us from what folks really, really want to see in Albuquerque, which is leadership. And when it comes down to leadership, we've got to do a couple of things. It is true this is a bipartisan race, and I'm proud to have a bipartisan track record. The most bipartisan bills in the legislature when I was there is auditor holding folks from both parties accountable for fraud, waste, and abuse. So I'm standing on my record. Folks know my record. You know what I've done. You've known every single bill that I've voted on and every single thing I've done as auditor. And I am asking you this. Give us a chance to get to City Hall on our own way, on our own path, so that we can take responsibility for our challenges and own up to this and not wait any longer to deal with these issues and not blame anyone else for our challenges. And that's why we have so many people coming together, unifying around our campaign. Police, firefighters, West Side Chamber of Commerce, folks from all stripes and all walks of life are behind our campaign, not because we agree on every issue, because they believe that I have a track record of getting things done and standing up for what I believe in.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is difficult to run for any office, let alone the mayor of Albuquerque. I want you all to give these two gentlemen a round of applause for standing up and doing the right thing. You're listening to 89.1 KANW, New Mexico Public Radio, coverage of the Congregation Albert mayoral debate. I'm Chris Shuler with candidates Tim Keller and Dan Lewis. Please get out and vote. Do your civic duty. Thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.